going to continue on the home tonight and home builders. And we were looking at what is a home and some things that ought to be seen in our home. And we started last week looking at that, and we'll continue tonight and go through here. There's one thing that we need in churches all across America is for our homes to get back to God. We see what's going on in the churches, see what's going on in the society, in our schools, in our government, and all those things. And our homes are a mess in this country. And I'm telling you what, if we don't have a home that pleases God and train up our children, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And it's probably going to get that way anyway, but tell you what, I want my children to know who God is. I want them to know how to get a hold of God and to know who He is and to be around His presence. I want that for them. And that church where we're going to have a camp meeting coming up and where we do different things, we go to the nursing home, and I want them to go and be a part of it. I want them to see the blessings of God, and I want it to be all about Him. And if we do that in our homes, it'll be that way in our church. It'll be all about God. So we're looking at this study here tonight, and tired of the devil getting his way in the home and in the family. So, all right, last week we looked at what is a home and some things that ought to be seen in the home. And the first was the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kind of summarizes a lot of the things we're going to look at for the next coming weeks, because everything boils down to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about love, we're going to talk about that tonight for a few minutes. But God is love. You can't have love without God. And so God is love. But we talk about Jesus Christ being in the home, and He ought to be seen in our home. Every decision we make, every move we make, every thing that we do ought to be with Him in mind. And is He going to be pleased with what we're doing? Is He pleased with our marriage, our relationship, our children, the way that we do things? So we looked at that last week, and we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ ought to have preeminence in everything we do. Not just in the church, but in the house. And so tonight I want to look at another thing that should be seen in the home is love. Love ought to be seen in our home. And sometimes we think about love, we think about, all this, a lot of lovey-dovey stuff and what the world portrays as love. But sometimes love hurts. You ever heard of tough love? Amen. My dad used tough love on me. That's why I'm so tall. Amen. He used tough love, and I didn't enjoy it, but looking back, He loved me. Amen. Love should be seen in our home. And 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18. The Bible says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So not only should we love, and there's nothing wrong with saying "I love you," but it needs to be something that's shown. It needs to be something that's done in deed and in truth. And something as far as what should be seen in our home, love should be evident in a Christian's home. When somebody comes into our home, they ought to be able to say, well, they love each other. Instead of, man, they cannot stand each other. I know of homes and marriages right now today that the only way the husbands and wife get along at all is one of them is gone all the time. And if they're home for any length of time, it doesn't work out. That love is not there, and that's a sad way to be. And it's the same way with children. There's sometimes kids, they don't want to be at the house. Why? Because love is not seen there. And so if we want a home that God is pleased with, it's got to be a home where love is there. When someone comes in, they should see a parent's love toward their children. They ought to see the love of the children towards the parents. They ought to see the love of the mom towards the dad and vice versa. And love should be seen in that home. And again, sometimes it's tough love. And we live in a society today where parents are taught to be their child's friend. And, my dad and I feel like he's one of my best friends right now. He sends me text messages all the time. We text back and forth and laugh. And I feel like he is one of my best friends. But it wasn't like that when I was a teenager. It wasn't. But today we have that relationship. And because looking back now, I know that I'm thankful for how He raised me. And sometimes I didn't feel the love. Amen. Can you feel? That belt did not feel very good. That word no did not feel very good. Amen. But I know that He loved me. And the Bible says, talks about the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, who the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. More than once. Amen. And the Bible talks about in Proverbs, and we're going to get into some of this later on, but we're talking about love right now, so we're going to talk about spankings. Amen. But the Bible says over there in Proverbs that if you spare the rod, that you hate your child. And we're going to get into some of those verses later, but love ought to be seen in the home. Amen. And amen, Brother Cody? Love ought to be seen in the home. And so it's one of those things. Now, we should show it, according to this verse, not only in tongue and in word, but in deed and in truth. Those things ought to be shown. And I'm going to go back to Christ in the home and devotions. And I think that if we love our children, we love our wife, we're going to pray with them. We're going to do devotions with them. And I'm going to get into some more of that later on, some things that ought to be seen in the home. But Jesus Christ, if we love them, we're going to tell them what the Bible says. And we're going to teach them what the Bible says. Because it's not just the pastor or the Sunday school teacher's job to train up our child. It's our job as a parent to do that. And it goes with our spouse also. But even though we ought to do it in love indeed, it doesn't hurt to say, I love you. Amen? I don't hurt to say that. And I know there's some, they say, well, man, I never heard my mom or dad say it. But I've worked with guys before, and they'll say, man, I've never one time in my life heard my dad say, I love you. He's like, but I know he did. And that's good. Why? Because of deed and truth. They say, I know that he loves me. I never heard him say it, but I've never heard anybody say, man, I wish he'd stop telling me he loved me. Amen. And so that's a good thing. And I know there's some times, especially for a dad, it's harder to do that, especially when they get older and, you don't want them to be effeminate and all those things. I love my dad. I'll tell him I love him. I might even give him a little side hug, but, I'm not giving him a kiss. He's a grown man. I'm a grown man. It ain't happening. Now, my mom, if she was to walk in here right now, she'd walk right up here and kiss me right on the cheek. And I'd say, Mom, just like I did when I was 12. Amen? That's how she shows that affection. But love ought to be seen in the home. And again, we talk about that tough love, but it ought to happen. In many homes, this is just the truth and the facts. In many homes, that family, they're like strangers living there. They're like strangers. They don't know each other. The parents don't know their kids. They have no clue what they're into. They have no clue what they're doing. The parents don't talk to the kids. The kids don't talk to the parents. In a lot of homes, the husband and wife don't even know each other. Amen? And that's what's being seen all over this country. And you got problems in the home, and the wife is sitting there struggling with something, and she's struggling in her heart with something, but she don't have enough confidence in her husband, are worried that he'll get upset if she starts talking about it, and vice versa. The husband's got something, and next thing you know, they find somebody to listen to them, and it breaks that home and busts it all up. And I know sometimes it's hard to do, especially for a teenager, but we ought to be able to talk to our parents, and sometimes it's not easy. But our parents, you need to be able to be approachable, amen, where they can come talk to us. But a lot of homes, they're like strangers. I know that it's a rare thing for families to sit around a dinner table and put all the devices away and sit down and eat and talk to one another. If you were to go into the average home, even a Christian home today, and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have dinner tonight. We're all going to sit around the table and everybody's got to turn all their devices off and sit there. It would be one of the most awkward things you've seen in a long time. It would be. Husband, you've got to talk to your wife at the dinner table. The kids, how was your day today? What did you do at school? I remember my granny and papa, it did not matter what was going on every single Sunday, and that they tried to do it during the week also, but every Sunday, no matter what was going on, we ate dinner at the table with nothing on, with no television. Let me clarify. No devices were turned on, amen? We were getting to know each other as a family. Well, Not everybody. Look at me. Turn it red now. Amen. But we, every Sunday, well, we'd do that and we'd talk and they'd ask those questions and things. And I know we live in a different time now. Man, we're busy, we're working, we're doing things. But we have to invest this time into our family. And love needs to be seen in that family. And we need to make time to do those things. When I first got married, I know my papa and granny told me, they said, hey, you need every chance you get, you need to sit at the table and eat with your family. Get them in a habit at a young age. Put everything away, leave your clothes on, and let's have dinner at the table. But get together, talk, ask how did your day go, and all those kind of things. Sundays, Wednesdays, and ask about, hey, how was the preaching? What did you get out of the preaching? This is what I got out of it. And go around and have those things. We got to build those relationships back, and love needs to be seen in that house. And these are things that are definitely missing today. Go over to Matthew chapter 24. If we were to be able to glance inside of the Christian home today, or even in your home, and we were to look in there and look at the dinner table and look at what was going on, what would be seen in your home? Would it be a friendly conversation and catching up on what's going on with everybody's school and work and life and how are things going? Or would it be a battleground? Amen? A battleground. It's what's being seen all over. All right, Matthew chapter 24. Love should be seen in the home. And again, when I'm talking about love, I'm not talking about the world's definition of we just need to love everything and love everybody and love sin. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a godly type love. Amen? A biblical type love. And that ought to be seen in the home. Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse number 12. You there, say amen. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. So what does that mean, Brother Andrew? Well, it means that when sin comes in our life, because of unbelief or wickedness or whatever the case might be, in our heart, our love for one another is going to grow cold. And we allow those things to come in our heart, and we allow them to come in our life, we allow them to come in the hearts of our children, that love is going to wax cold. And my dad, I know that him and my mom prayed for me growing up, and you say, well, you're mentioning him a lot. Well, we're talking about the home, and that's the only example I have is the one I lived in. Amen? And so I know my mom prayed for me and my dad, and he was spiritually minded, and it seems like every time I started making bad decisions and I started making foolish decisions and my heart wasn't right and I had a bad attitude, he would come up to me and say, hey, what are you into? What are you doing? He said, well, how in the world does he know? Well, parents, God will show you. If you're living right and you're doing what you ought to do, God will show you there's something wrong there. And, man, it seems like just I was making bad mistake after bad mistake. He goes, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Of course, I'm like, yes, sir. In the back of my mind, I know I'm not reading my Bible and praying. Might have been listening to something I shouldn't have been listening to, or doing something, or talking to somebody I shouldn't have been talking to, and those things. And he could see that because my attitude changed. My attitude changed toward my family. It changed toward my dad, toward my mom, toward my brothers and sisters. We were fighting all the time. And more so than just, you know, what siblings normally do. But he said, hey, what's going on here? Because he realized something was going on. And this verse rings true. If someone gets involved in some kind of sin, or they're doing something they're not supposed to do, they're not going to be hanging out at the church every Sunday. If they do come, they're going to slip in right after it starts, and they're going to slip out right before it gets over. Why? They don't want a fellowship. They know something's wrong. But if somebody's living right with God and they're happy and they have nothing to hide, Brother Brian, they'll hang around in fellowship. They'll have you over to their house. They'll do all those things. Why? I'm right with God. Amen. I want a fellowship. My spirit wants the fellowship with yours and the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to be in church and I want to sing the song and I want to do those things. But if there's sin in our life and there's something in there that we won't get right with God, like we talked about earlier, then our interest in those is going to wax cold. And that love. And so that same thing resonates in the home, that if there's if there's conflict, if there's things going there, there's a grudge. And sin can be more than just the physical things. It can be problems with the heart. It could be bitterness. Man, it'd be bad to think that there's couples that are bitter and angry at one another because of something. And they won't talk about it. They won't say, hey, what is going on? And I know husbands, my wife's the same way. What's wrong? Nothing. I automatically know there's something wrong. And now I've got 24 hours to figure out what it is. Amen? What's wrong? Nothing. Well, I know something's wrong. And I got to try to trace back and find out what I did. And then later I find out that it wasn't me, it was somebody else. I didn't do it. But then I got to apologize for being upset about it. I'm thankful I'm not God didn't make me a lady. Amen? But love ought to be seen in the home. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. This is something that is missing from our homes. Instead of love, we see fighting. We see anger. We see bitterness. We see a battleground. And when I talk about a battleground, I'm talking about fighting against one another. But I'm telling you right now, parents, our fight is not against our wife, it's not against our children, it's against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. If we're going to be fighting, we need to fight together against the devil and join together and band together and pray for our family and pray for our home and pray for our marriage and our children and kids. We got some teenage boys in here. We need to be praying for our parents. You know, it's hard to stay mad at somebody when you're praying for them. It's hard to stay mad at them. You say, well, you don't know what he did. Just pray for him. God knows what you did and he still loves you. And thank God for it. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, this know also that in the last days, and we're living in those days, the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so he reads a list here of some things that we're going to see in the last days, and we're seeing all these things, but there's several here that can boil down to some of the problems we see in homes. And why there's a lack of the love in the home. We're seeing these things play out today. And we get here where, first of all, we see where men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you know what the number one problem in a home is? It's me. You say, what's me? I'm talking about me first. Me first. Whether a child has it or a father has it, a mother has it, me first, me first. They get that attitude that it's my way or no way and all those kind of things. And me first. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It talks about disobedient to parents. It talks about unthankfulness. And these are some things that we see in a home. And it seems like growing up, I remember whenever food was sat down in front of I never complained about what was sat down in front of me. And looking back now, I realize there's some times my mom and dad did not eat, and it wasn't because they didn't like the food. It was because that's all we had to eat, and we got to eat it. And, there was times I remember griping about, we eating this again? Well, that's all we had. Amen. And looking now with our children, I tell my wife all the time, our kids are spoiled compared to how it could be. We're blessed, and I thank God for it. Man, there was never a time until I was probably late in my teens where I ever heard, what do you want to eat for dinner? I never heard that. We got what was set down in front of us, and we better eat it. Amen. You throw it up, and you got to eat it again. You better sit there and eat it. That's what it is. And I found myself the other day asking Ella, hey, where do y'all want to eat? What do you want to eat for supper? And thank God that we're blessed, amen. But you know what it's breeding? It's breeding unthankfulness because now we're picky and choosy about what we want. We're not thankful for what God's given us. And that's something that we have to be very careful with. And I don't ever remember plate of food being set out in front of us that we didn't say thank you and, hey, we're going to eat it and we're going to enjoy it whether we liked it or not. We didn't have that choice. Sometimes we'll have folks over, and I give Miss Sarah a hard time about it. And I'm thankful that she's this way, and I'm not. And I'm thankful she's this way. But we'll have some folks over, and there might be a group of folks coming, and we try to have some of our family over. And she stresses out over, well, this person doesn't like this, and this person doesn't like that, and they might be allergic to this. And I mean, just big time stresses over. And I said, hey, just put some food down. If they want it, they'll eat it. If they don't, they won't. Amen. And she goes, well, you know, she gets all stressed out. And I know some ladies do. And thank God for it that she cares. I don't. Amen. If you got a peanut allergy, there's peanuts in it. Don't eat it. Amen. There's a styrofoam plate over there. Eat it. Whatever the case might be. But we got homes where this unthankfulness and disobedience of parents. You want to see this on display? Go to Walmart. Go to Walmart and you'll see it on display. You'll see a family of just absolute chaos. And if you happen to see a mother and a father together with their children at Walmart, the children are doing whatever they want to do. The parents are begging them and asking them to stop to do what they're doing. The dad will actually try to man up for a second and get onto them. The mom will get onto the dad for getting onto the kids, and it's mass chaos. And somebody will say, and I'm one of them, like, man, I'd hate to be in that home. Why don't we want to have a home where somebody sees us out in public and they say, that's a loving family? I didn't say perfect. Amen. If you got a perfect family, when you moved into it, it wasn't perfect no more. I didn't say perfect, but a loving family. They love one another. That wife loves that husband. She honors him. She respects him. She submits to him. Whether she likes it or not, she doesn't run them down. And I'm going to get into all some of this later. That husband loves his wife. He's not running her down. He's not trampling all over her. He loves her. Those children respect their parents. They might not like every decision, but they respect it. There's a lot of things that I did not do growing up. Wasn't because I didn't want to do it, because some of the things I did want to do, but I respected my mom and dad enough that I did not want to break their heart. And somewhere down the line through there, it got to where, hey, I don't want to break my mom and dad's heart, I don't want to break God's heart. And that's a good place to get, amen, where you say, hey, I don't want to break their heart, but I want to break God's heart. And so we need to see this love back in our homes again. It ought to be seen in our homes. It ought to be known. It ought to be seen. It's amazing. You'll see there's parents that will spend their entire life and young adulthood and all those things trying to raise children, and they feed them and clothe them and do all these things just for a teenager to get up to a certain age, and they'll back talk to them and they'll run them down. They'll run them down behind their back, and they don't realize the nights that they stayed awake because they were sick or had to clean up their poopy mess all over the place growing up. Or they'll spend money on their education or try to send them off to school, never to hear one time, thank you, mom and dad, for raising me. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for doing all those things for me. I appreciate what you've done for me. No, it's, man, I don't know why they can't do this or why they can't buy me that car or why they can't do this, and complaining and complaining and complaining instead of thank you. Amen. There's nothing wrong with thank you for what you do. Every now and again, I know Miss Sarah does it with our kids. I'll come home from work and they'll pray, and I'll hear the kids say, thank you, Daddy, or thank you, Lord, that Daddy has a good job and he goes to work. Miss Sarah teaches them that. Amen. I think that's a good thing, to say thank you. You know what I say to her every time I've got to watch the kids while she's gone? Thank you for what you do, because I can't do it. God didn't build me that way. Amen. I'll duct tape them up and put them in the bathtub until she gets home. I don't know what to do. I try, and especially catching Elijah before he goes to sleep. I remember the body. I'm very thankful for what she does, but every now and again, I need to show her and tell her that. And the same thing goes back to me. It makes it worth me going to work when they say, thank you for going to work every day. Amen? And trying to teach them that. And, also in this verse, we talk about lovers of their own selves and disobedient to parents and unthankful. But we also find here another thing that I think could kind of go towards the home is without natural affection. There just being no natural affection in the home. And that's a sad thing. That's a very sad thing. It goes on to talk about in the last days about natural affection, truce breakers. Divorce is running rampant in our country. Why? Because we're being taught that if you're not happy, just marry somebody else. Is that not what's being taught? I've seen billboards, life is short, have an affair. And they just make it so simple. And I know there's some in here that have gone through that, and God can take it and work it, and you still can be used for His glory and honor, and God knows the situation. I don't, and I don't need to know. And I understand that, but I'm sure that those that have been through that would tell a younger person, marry the right person and do not go through that. God hates divorce. He does. And there's some that have gone through it. God gives clauses for it in the Bible. He gives qualifications for divorce. He goes over those things, and I understand that. But in the last days, we're seeing a rampant thing of this, and they're like, well, we just don't love one another. That is not a qualification for divorce in the Bible. It's not. Amen? Truce breakers. We see a lot of that. False accusers. Gossiping and lying. We've got husbands and wives that lie to one another about where they're at, what they're doing. Children that lie to their parents. Parents that lie to their children. We see these things, and then you wonder why in the world our homes are in a mess. Incontinent. And that has to do with the idea of self-control or having no self-control. Just running wild and running rampant. And these things certainly describe a lot of the homes that we see today. Ephesians 5:25, you don't have to turn there, I'm about to finish up. Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. We are commanded as husbands to love. That's our commandment. We weren't given the submission part to the children or to the wife. We were given a commandment to love. And to love, we're going to take care of our family. We're going to protect them. We're going to protect them not only physically, but spiritually. And I'm going to get into some more of this later on, but I'm talking about things that ought to be seen in the home. And we're going to protect them. We're going to do everything we can to protect them physically and spiritually. We're going to try to do devotions and pray with them and with our children and protect them. We're going to care for them as far as going out and working and trying to take care of our family so they have a nice place to sleep and lay their head and food on the table. And those are things we're supposed to do, and that ought to be seen in our home. I met a man this past weekend when I was up there up in Kentucky, and the wife came up to him and looked right at him and said something along the lines of, he was talking to somebody about taking care of his family, and she walked right up to him and goes, the only thing you take care of is playing that video game to all hours of the night, and she walked off. I'm like, huh. Wow. And he just kind of rolled his eyes and kept talking, and, you know, that's not a good thing, amen? But there's some men that's all they do. All they care about is toys and playing games and not getting up and going to work. You say, does that show in love? No. But love is, hey, I'm not feeling good. I don't feel like going to work, but I've got a wife and three children. I got to get up and go to work. You might not have said it, but you're showing it. They said, that man loves his family. He's going to take care of them, and he cares about them. Does the husband love his wife that much? Does he love her enough to give himself for her, to give of his time, to give of his of everything he's got to be able to take care of her and that family? Does he esteem her better than himself? That verse goes on to talk about that. Esteeming her better than us. And then Titus chapter 2, verse 4. This is a commandment given to the older woman, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. And you would think, Brother Heitz, man, did God really have to say that a younger lady has to be taught to love her husband and love her children? And the answer is yes. They have to be taught that. And hopefully they're being taught that by their mother who's raising them, but that's not always the case. But they have to be taught to love their husband and to love their children. Those are things they have to be taught how to do. This kind of love needs to be seen in our home. You say, well, how does she do that? And we're going to get into it later on. But the first thing she's supposed to do is submit to that husband and submit to whatever he says. God has put him in that home to be the leader of that home, And if she's going to show love towards him, she's going to submit to him. She's going to be a caregiver to that home. She's going to make it nice for him for when he gets home. She's going to do those things. And one of her, even though the husband is ultimately responsible for the raising of the kids, she's there with them all day. She's going to have a large part of training those children up to be who they ought to be. And we're going to get into some of that later. But we do those things. We're showing that love. And that's something that needs to be seen in a Christian home. I love you ought to be something that's heard in a Christian home, but not only said, but it actually needs to be seen in that home. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. How do you show love in the home? You honor your mom and dad. Even when they're not looking. Even when they're not around, you honor them. You respect them. You do not let anybody else talk about your parents. Amen? You say, well, I don't care for all this. It doesn't matter. You still honor them. The Bible does not say husbands love if the wife's doing what they're supposed to and the children are doing what they're supposed to. So I just can't love her and I just can't love them kids. Well, it doesn't matter. The Bible says to love. Well, I can't submit to him. It doesn't matter. The Bible says submit. It doesn't matter what you can or can't do. The Bible says submit. If you want to be right with God, it's what it says. Children, obey and honor, and those are the things we're supposed to do, and that's how we can show it. And if all the pieces of this puzzle are doing that, guess what you're going to see in that home? You're going to see love. Why? Because everybody's trying to please Christ. They're trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, not everybody in my home's saved, or not everybody in my home is following along with that. Do your part. God will bless you, and God will work on the others. And it's not your job to tell them what they're doing wrong. Well, if you would love more, that's not, you let God do that. You do what you're supposed to. The Bible talks about the conversation of the wife, her testimony, winning over her husband. Is it not, Brother Hodge? It talks about that. Just do your part, and God will take care of the other. Amen? All right, let's all stand.